13 members have been, the minutes have been distributed to members. I'm putting page 1 to you. If you do not have the minutes, just indicate so that they can distribute minutes to you. Page 2. Page 3. Can I get a mover for the... Yep, page 3. This is change thing.
A summary of the decision that first paragraph. The second line, taking committee of parliament on issues, not on the issues.
That is correct, we will make that change. Anything else on page 3? Can I get a move for the minutes? Mr. Bias, Honourable Sir Bias moving. Seconder, Honourable George. Again, thank you for the timeous distribution of the minutes. Can I just see, we are, before we're going to start, I do not see the state law advisors here. We have not received an apology from them either. Okay. Members, the agenda for this meeting will be that we will go through the B-Bill, finalise the B-Bill. We will then take the very delayed and very late implementation plan and costing plan of the department. Thereafter, we will put the bill to a vote by the members. And can I indicate to members that I have been informed by the programming committee that this bill is up for debate next week Tuesday. The bill is up for debate. I do not have an idea of what the time is that they've given for the bill. I would also urge the department to make sure that your translation is done in time for the bill to be adopted in Parliament so that we don't have to apologise for that either. Before we start the meeting, I think it's important that we remind each other that on the 15th of this month, which is Friday, I think, it's International Day Against Brutality by Police. I think a very timeous day, specifically around the issues that is confronting us at this stage. The researcher has conducted a proactive research paper on police brutality, and as a committee, when we deal with our strat plan, we will talk about how we deal with this and at what point we would like to put it in our program and what form it should take. Can I just also take the opportunity? I think many of us have seen the statements that was made by Provincial Commissioner Lamour last week during Police Day celebrations. And I would like to take this opportunity for us to congratulate General Lamour on the statement that he has made around, specifically around the issues of domestic violence, but also actions that he has taken within this province to deal with police officers who are breaking the law, who are not respecting the constitution in the execution of their duties. I think it's a good example of what the committee has been asking for over a long period of time. Let there be consequences for those who are acting outside of the parameters of the law. Without further ado, Secretary, I'm handing over to you to take us through, you and your team to take us through on the B-Bill. I would like us to do it in the following way. We do section by section. If there's anything that we can still deal with that. So over to yourself.
Thanks, Chairperson. The legal team that was here last week is here, I think the committee will know them, but just on my left is General Jacobs from SAP's legal team, Dawn Bell, the new Chief Director of Legislation in the Secretariat, Brigadier Schlager from the SAP's legal team, and Mr. Soman. I think the SAP's General Matibu introduce this delegation when we get to the implementation plan. But I'd like to hand over to General Jacobs to take you through the bill because he's been dealing with most of the drafted changes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I can just mention that the State Law Advisors have been interacting with us in finalising the present bill. Chair, if I can start with the long title of the bill. You'll recall that we've removed the references to firearms there, and so it reads now to provide for certain prohibitions in respect of the possession of dangerous weapons, to repeal the Dangerous Weapons Acts in operation in the areas of the erstwhile South Africa, Transkei, Bophuthatswana, Venda and Ciskei, as those areas were constituted immediately before 27 April 1994, to amend the Regulation of Gatherings Act 1993, Act No. 205 of 1993, and the Firearms Control Act 2000, Act No. 60 of 2000, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Chair, on the preamble, there were no changes. Reads the whereas the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, entrenches the right to security of persons and the right to be free from all forms of violence. And whereas the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 guarantees the right, peacefully and unarmed, to assemble, to demonstrate, to picket, and to present petitions. Be it therefore enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Chair, the definition of dangerous weapon has been amended. It now reads, dangerous weapon means any object other than a firearm capable of causing death or inflicting serious bodily harm if it were used for an unlawful purpose. Jay, you will recall that especially the causing death and inflicting, that was changed the sequence thereof.
Can we stop there, members? Are we in agreement with up to the end of the definitions? We're happy with that. Continue, please.
Thank you, Chair. And then, Chair, you will recall that we have actually made a change to the sequence of the bill by inserting the exceptions as Clause 2, which now reads, this Act does not apply to the following activities. Possession of dangerous weapons in pursuit of any lawful employment, duty or activity. B, possession of dangerous weapons during the participation in any religious or cultural activities, or lawful sport, recreation, or entertainment, and C, legitimate collection, display, or exhibition of weapons.
Any comments? Are we happy with two? No comments, you can continue.
Chair, clause number 3, we have excluded the issue of firearms from the original version. It now reads, any person who is in possession of any dangerous weapon under circumstances which may raise a reasonable suspicion that the person intends to use a dangerous weapon for an unlawful purpose, is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years. Clause 2, sub-clause 2, in determining whether a person intends to use the object as a dangerous weapon for an unlawful purpose, all relevant factors, including but not limited to the following, must be taken into account. A, the place and time where the person is found. B, the behavior of the person, including the making of any threat or the display of intimidatory behavior. C, the manner in which the object is carried or displayed. Chair, the committee will recall that we've changed weapon day to object. D, whether the possession of the object was within the context of drug dealing, gang association or any organized crime or any other criminal activity, any other has also been inserted. Or E, any other relevant factors, including any explanation the person may wish to provide for his or her possession of the object, provided that this paragraph shall not be interpreted as an obligation on the person to explain his or her possession of the object.
Any problems in round three or any comments? I think it captures all the changes that we've said, so can we continue?
Chair, clause number four is simply the schedule of legislation that's now outdated and that's being repealed. And clause number five is the amendment of the Regulation of Gatherings Act. The Regulation of Gatherings Act 1993, Act number 205 of 1993, is hereby amended, A, by the substitution in section 8 for subsection 4 of the following subsection. No participant at a gathering or demonstration, then delete, shall abide by any law in respect of the carrying of dangerous weapons, may have in his or her possession, A, any air gun, firearm, imitation firearm, or any muzzle-loading firearm, as defined in Section 1 of the Firearms Control Act 2000, Act Number 60 of 2000, or any object which resembles a firearm and that is likely to be mistaken for a firearm, or B, any dangerous weapon as defined in the Dangerous Weapons Act 2013, and the convener and marshals, if any, shall take all reasonable steps to ensure that this section is complied with. Then B, the addition in section 12.1 of the following paragraph, K, who is in possession of or carrying any object referred to in section 8.4 in contravention of that section. C, by the substitution in section 12.1 for the words following paragraph J of the following words, shall be guilty of an offence and on conviction liable, Roman 1, in the case of a contravention referred to in paragraph A to J, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year, or to both such fine and such imprisonment. And 2, in the case of a contravention referred to in paragraph K, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years. And lastly, D, by the substitution in section 13.1a for subparagraph 2 of the following subparagraph, Roman 2, Dangerous Weapons Act 68, Act number 71 of 68 is being deleted and inserted instead thereof Dangerous Weapons Act 2034.
Members, can I put 5 to you? Any comments? We're happy with it. Continue, please. Can you?
Chairperson. Sorry, Chairperson. What did? Thank you, Chairperson. No, she was speaking. Chairperson, what is all at the end of that paragraph of Roman 2? E or what?
The chain
after 2013, that is all. What is that all for?
Chairperson, it is just within the context of the dangerous of the Regulation of Gatherings Act. It's within the sequence of that paragraph. So it is. This is just an insertion in that act. So the all belongs there in terms of the context of the. Of the regional act.
What General the Commissioner is saying, no longer addressing these people as generals, what Commissioner is saying is that the subparagraph, that whole section 5, belongs in another piece of legislation, and in that sequence of that legislation there must be an or, because there will be another paragraph following, sub 3. Would follow in the act. So it's just the amendment of the first two, so the all, although it looks out of place now, when read with the act, it will read correctly. 6, please.
Chair, clause 6 is the amendment of section 120 of the Firearms Control Act 2000. Section 120 of the Firearms Control Act 2000, Act No. 60 of 2000, is hereby amended, A, by the substitution in subsection 10 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. B, being possession of any firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, imitation firearm, with intent to commit an offence or to use the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm to resist arrest or prevent the arrest of another person. And then the insertion of B of paragraph 10A, following subsections after subsection 10 is 10A and B. 10A, in determining whether a person intends to use the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm to commit an offence, all relevant factors, including but not limited to, the following must be taken into account. A, the place and time where the person is found. B, the behavior of the person, including the making of any threat or the display of intimidatory behavior. C, the manner in which the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm is carried or displayed. And D, whether the position of the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm was within the context of drug dealing, gang association, organized crime, or any other criminal activity, or E, any other relevant factors, including any explanation the person may wish to provide for his or her possession of the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm, provided that this paragraph shall not be interpreted as an obligation on a person to explain his or her possession of the firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm. And 10B, the provisions of subsection 10B do not apply to the following activities. A, the pursuit of any lawful employment, duty, or activity. B, the participation in any cultural or religious activities or lawful sport, recreation, or entertainment. Or C, the legitimate collection, display, or exhibition of a firearm, airgun, deactivated firearm, muzzle-loading firearm, or imitation firearm. And Chair, then lastly, the short title and commencement. The Act is called the Dangerous Weapons Act 2013 and comes into operation on a date determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette.
Members, that's the last part of it. Can I see if there are any comments, questions, uncertainties? Are we satisfied with that? Okay, satisfied. Members, we then get to the implementation plan. We're not going to, we first need to get the implementation plan before we will adopt this legislation. We then come to the implementation plan. Members, you would remember on the 12th of February when the Minister introduced this piece of legislation to the committee. The committee made it clear that it would not pass this legislation with, like we would not pass any other piece of legislation, with a proper costing and implementation plan on this legislation. Now, on the department was then supposed to make a presentation to the committee on the 19th of February on the implementation plan. Shortly before the meeting of the 19th, I got a call to ask for extension, and I granted them extension until the 26th of February, making it quite clear that that would be the last extension that we do give to them. Again, there was questions for extension, and last week's meeting on the 5th of March, you would remember that the department simply did not pitch to make the presentation to the committee. The committee then took a decision, and I communicated this in the meeting as well, that they were to hand in the implementation plan and the costing by end of business on the 5th of March. The end of business, and the committee decided that as acting chairperson I should write to the acting minister as well as the Speaker of Parliament to relay our disgust with the fact that there was a complete ignoring and disregard for the processes of Parliament and for Parliament itself as well. At the end of business on the 12th, and the reason why we said end of business on the 5th, we want the plan, is that we've got a 7-day rule in this committee, a rule that is known to this department over many years. At the end of business on the 5th, again, there was no plan coming forward. I then wrote on the 6th of March a letter to the Speaker, actually a letter to the Acting Minister of Police, CC'd to the Speaker and to the National Commissioner. I got no response on that letter from the department yet again. By Friday, end of business, we still did not receive an implementation plan or a costing, and no explanation, apology, communication, nothing. I then felt at that point, without having the mandate of the committee, that I've reached the end of my patience as well, and I wrote a letter directly to the Commissioner, asking that General Mutiba, Commissioner Mutiba, Divisional Commissioner Mutiba, be here today to explain to this committee why this unacceptable development took place and why his section feels it's okay to disregard Parliament and disrespect Parliament in this regard. So before they present the implementation plan and the costing, can I say the implementation plan and costing was only received yesterday morning. That's when we emailed it to members, and that's why you only got it now in hard copies. So before I actually allow them to present this implementation plan, and I must be honest with you, if it was not that this bill was scheduled for debate on Tuesday next week, I simply would have sent you packing today again for the disregard again on the 7-day rule from the department. It has become a norm for this department now to ignore the 7-day rules. And every time that we are supposed to be getting a report, we get a request for extension. You are now solely responsible for it, that this committee will never grant an extension to the department ever again. We cannot deal, we try to accommodate you, we cannot deal with disrespect for Parliament. The South African Police Service, if you read the Constitution, this committee is responsible for the oversight under the South African Police Service. And if the police do not understand what that means, then I suggest that you actually have a workshop and you figure out what it means. General Mutiba, over to you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Chairperson, I must start by apologizing to yourself, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members, that the police could not come and present the implementation plan, as you have stated. And Honourable Chairperson and Members, I really want to explain that there was communication breakdown within the South African Police Service. When we asked for extension, and the extension was asked by Division Visible Policy because we wanted to consult with the provinces. And this plan, which is going to be presented today, is having inputs from provinces so that the provinces tell us about what they would want to see in the implementation plan. Now, Chairperson, when we wanted to present this plan, we realized that the National Commissioner has not approved it. And that has been a communication breakdown, Chairperson, because there is also other stakeholders, not only Visible Policy. We had presented our part of the plan. We even got a commendation from General Jacobs, but the other division's plans were not yet in. And that is where the breakdown came, Chairperson, and I really want this morning, on behalf of the South African Police Service, to offer my apology for this communication breakdown, Chairperson. With your permission,
Commissioner, you're not chairing the meeting. Switch off your microphone, please. I will first allow members to discuss the so-called communication breakdown in the South African Police Service, because the communication breakdown in the South African Police Service does not explain the communication breakdown and good manners from the South African Police Service in dealing with this committee. It does not explain why you simply don't pitch up. No apology, not telephonically, neither written. Members, over to yourself, Mr. George, Mr. Ms. Kulabana, Ms. Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, General Mutsibe, as you were speaking, Madam Chair, I got even more worried that the problem we see happening in the country, when General Mutsibe spoke, he made me even more worried. That it means we've got a bigger problem than what we're seeing. Then communication breakdown, provinces. Communication breakdown in this job management. What does that tell us? Firstly, you would assume that when they drafted this deal, surely they knew that an implementation plan is going to be needed. And also, like the chairperson is saying, you don't even explain what is this communication breakdown. Because now I might have to go outside, and probably that's why the police are doing what they like. It's because there's no communication. What is this communication breakdown? And Madam Chair, you are not even probably again communication breakdown. If you know that you're not going to be able to do something in time, why wait until the last moment and say last moment to send an SMS? Even not, because SMS in terms of running a government and a department is not acceptable. It's a more something which can do. But if you want to apologize to a parliament from a department, you need a properly written letter telling why it cannot be done. Just like you know, General Mutsibe, I must be honest. You mentioned communication breakdown. You are not saying what is this communication breakdown. Because now, we don't want to get out of this thing not knowing exactly what's happening in the police. You better tell us, what is this communication breakdown in the police service? What is the cause of it? What are you doing to make sure that there is no communication breakdown in such a big department? In the course of these 2 months, we're going to vote huge money, billions, to your department. Now, can we go home and sleep well and say, no, the billions which are popped out by South Africans given to the police are given to a good management, which is not going to be a communication breakdown even in making sure that money is properly spent. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairperson, I am absolutely infuriated that you, as the acting chairperson, received no apology at all, no communication. You have had to waste your time writing letters to ensure that we get something that is standard procedure. This is not the first time this committee has ever dealt with legislation. This is not the first time the SACS has ever had to come here, lead us through, work on legislation, give answers. They know full well what is needed for this. Now, I don't know what's gone on. I don't know if people have been hired and fired and new people put in, whatever's been going on there. Patently, they haven't a clue what they're doing. And it is incredibly worrying, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Where were the common good manners? You don't just not pitch at a meeting in Parliament. This is the equivalent of a sitting of the National Assembly, and you chose not to come to it. Really, Chair, I really think this has to be taken up at the highest level. We have been, as a committee, treated with absolute and utmost contempt. And that is beyond inexcusable. Absolutely not, can never be allowed to happen again. And I fear if we don't do something very harsh, it will happen again. because it means they can just get away with treating us with contempt.
Honourable Mother Batu.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is very, very, very painful. One word for this is disrespect. Just disrespect. To Commissioner Mutiba, what I want to know is, what is it that broke down? What specifically broke down? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Ndlovu.
Chairperson, if I listen to the Attorney General of what he said, does that mean that when we spoke to the minister when he was presenting the bill, they didn't hear what we said? That's the first question. The second question, Chairperson, to them, it's not the courtesy to write letters to say, we apologize, we haven't met the deadline. It's just not the courtesy to them. They just take it as a problem. Thirdly, I go back to the communication breakdown. What does it mean in the police? If you say communication breakdown, what does that mean? That statement itself said by the general here in the public gallery, what does it mean? What do the people say about that communication breakdown? That means the police can't communicate to themselves or whatever. And they can't even adhere to the minister's instruction. What does it mean, really? Put aside of what we are requesting, but we said this to the minister when he was presenting this at the first day. Now we are coming to the tail end of the bill, and we haven't started. What about if we reject this thing today? What will happen? Then we're back to square one. Is it another communication breakdown? But not on our side. What does that mean, Chairman? Thanks.
Labati, you've got another point you want to ask?
I'm sorry, Chairman. But my other one is, if there is communication breakdown at the national level, what will happen at the province, at the cluster, and at the stations? Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, it raises the question, you're all in one building, but you can't even get your act together there. And as Honourable George has said, this, and Honourable Ndlovu has said, this is part of normal process. You don't introduce a bill without the implementation plan. Simple as that. The fact of the matter is, members, I forgot to say that I got a response from the National Commissioner after my letter on Friday requesting that Commissioner Mutiba be... Now, again, it shows you the communication in the department. The letter was sent from one office, emailed 6:04 the evening. It was sent from one office in the SAPS to another office, 11:15 on Friday evening. It was emailed to Parliament on Friday evening. So we only got that letter yesterday morning. Now, in the letter, the Commissioner says that she would like to speak to me telephonically before today's meeting. Before the end of the weekend. Now, here's another example of communication breakdown within the South African Police Service. The letter indicates this. Somebody thinks, oh, it's not that important, let's send it to the person who must have distributed only after 6:00. That person only sent it 11:15 Friday evening to the Secretary of Police, of the Portfolio Committee on Police. We're not a joke. We're not a circus. We have warned you before that this committee and this parliament can now start changing budgets. You're really motivating for us to do so. And Commissioner Mutiba, what upsets me most about what you said is again that it wasn't visible only. That's the problem with the South African Police Service. There's always a buck to pass to somebody else. There's always somebody else to pass the buck to. Where does the buck stop? Where does it stop? Where does common courtesy come in? respond to the members. Thereafter, we will listen to the implementation plan. I will allow members to ask detailed questions on the implementation plan. And if members are not happy with the implementation plan, then we've got a problem. Then this committee needs to take a decision. Continue, please.
Chairperson and honourable members, I've point number one pointed out that I'm offering the apology of the South African Police Service for not presenting the plan. And that apology, Chairperson, is placed in this committee with the understanding that this type of communication breakdowns will not happen again. That is the first point. The second one, Chairperson, when the whole process unfolded, all the communication was coming from legal services, from the Office of General Jacobs. We gave all input. When we were supposed to come to this committee, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we realized that, but the plan has not been presented to the National Commissioner yet by legal services. So the plan was ready, but the National Commissioner has not seen it. That is where the communication breakdown came. So in terms of the comments on what is the breakdown, what broke down, the plan, Chairperson, was just had to be presented to the National Commissioner, and the National Commissioner was not in the office to approve the plan. She had other businesses to attend to. So the communication breakdown happened between legal services and the Office of the National Commission. The communication breakdown has not been with any other division of the police. That is
can you stop there? Stop there. Please switch off your microphone. Honourable Global, Honourable Molebatsi, and I want to get clarity. Since when is legal services responsible for implementation plans and costing? Since when are legal services responsible for an operational issue? Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable Molebatsi.
Now we have taken my question, Chairperson. I wanted to ask that question. And secondly, does it mean, therefore, if the National Commissioner is in the office, everything stops? Does it? Are you saying that, General? If you are saying that, you must know that you are saying that. There is other businesses. The National Commissioner must sit in the office and wait for all others to go to him or to her and so on and so forth. If she is not there, everything stops. Are you saying that?
Chairperson, the whole management of the police, I was attending a two-day work session. And so it was not only the National Commissioner was out of the office, the whole management was out. And I want to point out, Chairperson, that the legal services have asked for inputs, we gave them inputs. And we expected them to present this to the National Commissioner because they asked for inputs. We are not driving the process. So, Chairperson, once again, we offer our apology.
Commissioner Matiba, you're really upsetting me because, first of all, your management workshop was last week, Monday, Tuesday. Correct? So that does not explain why it couldn't have been done before then. Your first deadline was the 26th, after you've asked for extension from the 19th. Correct? Yeah. So it does not explain it. And I do not buy this, and I think neither does the members buy it, that it's got to be the responsibility of legal service to present to the commissioner on what is an operational issue. I do not take that point. And I don't think the members do either. When are you taking responsibility for your role in this? When are you taking responsibility at the head of this hall for this? Do you think the police officers on the ground, if they see you not taking responsibility, will take responsibility for their actions on the ground. Members, I don't think we're going to make any progress. The fact of the matter is, your apology is not accepted by this committee. It's rejected. It's rejected with the contempt that it deserves. And I must be honest with you, and I'm members, if I'm not representing you correctly, please indicate so, that we take great exception to the fact that you're trying to blame legal services for what is clearly an operational issue. We expect a written apology to this committee. Not from legal services. We expect a written apology from the South African Police Service. And you can take back to the management of the South African Police Service that they will not get one day's extension from this committee for the rest of this term. Not one day. And I do hope the South African Police Service is ready to table their APPs on the 13th. And that is the deadline. I do hope they're ready to table it. Can we continue with the presentation, please?
Chairperson, the plan provides for the drafting of SAPS-specific training and communication content, implementation of training program, or before I start, the Chairperson, I forgot to introduce Major General Susan Zina, who is with me from the Head Crime Prevention. Implementation of the training program in preparation for the implementation of the legislation and to ensure and sustain correct implementation after the implementation date, and implementation of internal and external communication plans in support of implementation to raise awareness and reinforce or complement training initiatives, use of baseline allocation of divisions. In terms of development of content for training and communication purposes, the activities, drafting of circular to announce the implementation and date and requirements for SAPS by legal services, and that will happen 2 weeks after the Act is promulgated and the line function baseline budget will be utilized. Drafting of implementation guidelines and information for police on the implementation and implications of the legislation by legal services, visible policing, operational response services and detective service, also 2 weeks after Act is promulgated. Drafting of communication plan and messages for internal and external target audiences by corporate communication, legal services, detectives, ORS and FISPOL, utilizing line function baseline budget 2 weeks after Act is promulgated. Honorable Chairperson, in terms of internal communication plan, distribution of circular by national commissioner to all provincial and divisional commissioners to a reform of contents and date of implementation of the Act by legal service 1 month before implementation and all costs provided for in line function budget. Distribution of implementation guidelines with circular mentioned above by ORS, FISPOL and detectives 1 month before implementation with line function budget. Publication of both circular and guidelines on the intranet by corporate communication 1 month before implementation with line function budget. Notice to all email users that legislation will be implemented with reminders by corporate communication and legal services months before implementation, as well as weekly reminders until week after implementation, utilizing line function budget. Printing of guidelines in form of Z card or pamphlet to include the salary slips of all SAPS employees by corporate communication and visible policing 1 month before implementation date 200,000, the cost is 200,000 rand. Printing of posters for notice boards by corporate communication and visible policing 1 month before implementation date with a cost of 200,000. Double page spread in SAPS Journal and Journal Online by corporate communication legal services during the month of implementation utilizing line function budget. Printing of booklets on the legislation including text of acts for police members with distribution to trainees in all basic training colleges as well as public order policing unit personnel by corporate communication and legal services 1 month before implementation date. The total cost is 160,000 rand for 80,000 booklets. Produce for a Paul TV program, educational DVD can be made available for training purposes and distributed to stations by corporate communication and legal services from date of enactment of the act. Total cost being 21,000 rand, quantity of 1,500 DVDs. Briefings to crime combating forums at provincial, cluster and station level by legal services and visible policing at national and provincial level upon approval of instructions and guidelines utilizing line function budget. Pertaining to external communication and media play, produce a special program and weekly diary inset for when duty calls. By corporate communication, ORS and visible policing within months of promulgation with inset until months after implementation utilizing line function budget. Media statements prior to and coinciding with the implementation date by corporate communication and legal services week before implementation date utilizing line function budget. Production of public information materials pamphlet in all official languages by corporate communication, visible policing, ORS and detectives. Disseminate months before implementation with a total cost of 400,000 rand. Public notice, media statement on the SAPS website by corporate communication and legal services months before implementation date with reminders utilizing line function budget. Briefing to all, to stakeholders and forums at all levels that include CPF structures, JCPS and joint structures by corporate communication, legal services, ORS, fiscal, detectives at national and provincial level from months before implementation, utilizing line function budget. Wide circulation of pamphlets via police stations and CPF and at public events by corporate communication and fiscal 1 month before implementation. And the cost of the pamphlet is included. Include public information in national public events and in visos by corporate communication, visible policing, civilian secretariat and minister for police 1 month before and after implementation and the cost of the pamphlet included. Scheduled interviews with experts on radio and television programs, 65, that include 65 community radio stations by corporate communication and visible policing and legal services 2 weeks before and after implementation with no cost. And the total cost communication plan total is 981,000. In terms of the implementation approach for human resource development implementation plan, briefing of legal services, senior officials and fiscal head as the resource personnel to provide guidance to operational members and field trainers. Development of a training module on the dangerous weapons bill. Incorporate the new training module into learning area 2 of the basic police development program. Incorporate the training module into all tactical related training interventions, that is in service police development and management and leadership development. Roll out to all station members via the field training structure. The implementation plan from Division HRD is as follows. Development of a training module on the dangerous weapons bill. the activity development of a training module on the dangerous weapons bill 2 months before implementation, utilizing line function budget, and reproduce new module 500 copies 7 weeks before implementation at the cost of 15,000 rand. Present training module to resource personnel in legal services and visible policy. All legal services officers from level 11 upward to attend national training session, and all provincial and cluster fiscal aid to attend 5 training sessions by legal services, HRD and fiscal 6 weeks before implementation at the cost of 500,000 rand. Incorporate the new training module into learning area 2 of the basic police development program. Orientate basic police development law trainers in 2 sessions and present training module in basic police development program 6 weeks before implementation at a cost of 160,000 rand, and from implementation onwards, including budget for basic training, which will be allocated in the next financial year. Incorporate the training module into all tactical related training interventions in service training, police development and management and leadership. Orientate ISPD trainers in 2 sessions. That will happen months before implementation at the cost of 160,000 rand. Present training module in all tactical related training interventions from implementation date onwards, and include in budget for in-service training within HRT. Roll out to all station members via the field training structure. Orientate provincial field training supervisors in 1 station, and that will happen 2 weeks before implementation at a cost of 80,000. Orientate provincial field training officers from 2 weeks before implementation and ongoing, utilizing line function budget. Ensure rollout at station level by field training officers during station lecture from implementation date and ongoing, utilizing line function budget at a total cost, Honorable Chairperson, of 915,000 rand. Budgeting for implementation. The implementation plan will be funded from the baseline allocations of the Division Visible Policy and HRD, and a specific allocation for this purpose to the corporate communication component, with the cost looking as follows: HRD 665,000 rand, fiscal 450,000 rand, corporate communication 781,000 rand, coming to a total of 1896,000. The most important thing I want to emphasize is that the visible policy will make funds available to corporate communication. In conclusion, Chairperson, I want to point out that this implementation plan has been consulted with all players within the South African Police Services, as well as the provinces who are part of this implementation plan, and in as far as the South African Police Service is concerned. When this act is ultimately passed, the South African Police Service will implement it. I thank you.
There you have it. Mr. Honourable George, Honourable Sabia, Honourable Mulabatsi, Honourable Kulabarnat, in that order.
Madam Chair, firstly, I must thank General Mutiwe for this presentation. But my main concern, General, is that especially in those areas where you say line function baseline, I would have been more happier if you had told us how much you're going to spend. Because now, you see, now it means now we're going to sign a blank check. We don't know how much you're going to take, because now it doesn't give us an indication that either the money that is budgeted to the police is enough. But if you say, I would assume that when you budget it for the budget which you have got, you probably, unless you say that, you did not have this in mind. It was not part of your Now, if you say now line function budget, baseline is going to be, it would be better if we know how much is it that you're going to take from this line function, because it was budgeted for something else. So it is important for us to know how much is this going to take from your, and also you, I see an area here, especially when it comes to communication, where a lot of people are going to, a lot of departments are going to be seeing legal services, visible police, and provincial, and all that. You see, my worry with that is that, you know, if you look at many laws we have made, most of the time when we get into the police station, we find that the police at the station know nothing about that. Sometimes we find a situation where they have not even heard about it. Now, the way you put here, corporate communications, visit police, it made me worry. Why? Because that's why also we got this communication breakdown. You've got so four or five departments communicating one thing. If you want to communicate in the best communications, if you communicate to the police station, only one person. Now, this whole mixed masala about everybody communicating. How do you make sure that that communication goes through and everybody in the police station understands this communication? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honorable Sabia. Thanks, Chairperson. If the presenter can elaborate more, because the date 1 month before implementation of the program, I'm having a problem. Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Mulabati.
Yes, that was part of my question. My other one will be on this internal and external communication, where you say the cost of the pamphlet is included. It's so vague. It's very, very vague. What is included? Can't you have something to know what is it that is being included? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Kula Barnett and then the Honourable Kunewald.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if initially you could start with this business of scheduled interviews with experts on radio and television programs, plus the 65 community radio stations. You're imagining that every station is going to just leap in and want to prioritize this as an issue. There may be other issues that may not actually get coverage, or do you believe you can instruct our television and radio stations and programs and all community radio stations to do interviews on this? I'm most interested in the way this is phrased, as though you control the media. I'd like an explanation for that. The development of the training module, you refer to line function budget a lot. I'm presuming you're meaning the next budget, because this money is finished. There are already people who've used up everything, and we haven't even gone into the new cycle. Are you presuming that this is now going to be included in the next budget? If so, have you discussed this with all of the heads of all of these divisions? And I'd like to know how this is going to work. It's obviously not included in the current budget. When you have, for example, the reproduction of the new model, 500 copies, you've allowed 30 Rand each. Okay, so now you've produced 500 copies. Where's the distribution cost? How are you actually going to get them out to the stations? I don't know. And presumably the other 1,100 stations don't get copies. I'm not sure how that's going to work. This business of training a handful of trainers. We know full well that there are stations who train one person a year on the Domestic Violence Act, and they've got 20 people who need training. So you'll be dead by the time they're finished. I'll be dead. Our great-grandchildren might eventually see a time when everybody in the SAPS knows what the Domestic Violence Act is. Now, what are you suggesting here? That suddenly all other training is going to be set aside and people will be trained on this and the entire members, operational members of what are we, 180,000-odd, will know about this just like that. When they cannot, and you have failed miserably in training them in some of really the most crucial legislation, they don't even know what it is. So I don't understand how that looks like happening. You've set aside a minimal amount here. I don't know if it does it include transport, does it include, what does it include? How did you come to this figure? I kind of feel it's a thumb suck because you were under pressure to come up with it. I feel as though this was just maybe cut and pasted from somewhere else, or there's just no meat to this. And I don't see how this is going to be turned into ensuring that everybody knows. And this is crucial legislation because the actual basis of the legislation is depends upon excellent training. And if we don't train people in this, you're going to have someone transporting some antique something, some firearm from one place to the other, he'll be chucked in jail. If they have not been trained correctly, they'll say they're using this legislation. I'm extremely uncomfortable with this, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I want to ask a question on the implementation plan for the training of the members. As I said, I'm a bit worried about the misuse, or it can be misused, and that sort of thing. So I see it is incorporated in the new training module for Learning Area 2 on the Basic Police Development Program, but I will be short. My question is the present members. On your slide 12, you say the rollout to all station members via the field training structure, and then you say ensure rollout at station level by field training officers during station lectures. Now, I would like to know, in these lectures, because that's where the important area is, on the station level, the people who are going to work with the Act, what period are you going to take to ensure at that specific lecture level that the members will be trained on the Act? Thank you, Chair.
Well, some members have covered my questions because station lectures are on the long global, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to go to the last page, Chairperson, of the budget. I think, let me lean to my colleague's question. Which budget are we talking about? Is it 1415? 1415? Because this one has already been done. Which budget are we referring to here? So that we understand exactly where we are going to get the money. And in that answer, if it's 1415 or 1314, something like that, that means therefore all what has been said here can't take place immediately because there will be no money. Is that my understanding on it? If I'm wrong, please correct me. Thanks.
Yeah, many of the members have asked the questions that I want to ask, but I must be honest. I think the important point is that was the issue that was raised on the very first day, that this piece of legislation will depend solely on members of the police services' ability to differentiate, to make a judgment call, and therefore training is of the utmost importance. But a couple of questions to that. Just another comment as well, Secretary, for you as well. The Child Justice Act training, which was a complete new piece of legislation, cost 1.7 million. This is not new legislation. But this cost, what have you got here? 1.8. So that immediately raises the question whether we are thumb sucking. No, I can't hear you when you speak to me while I'm speaking, so wait till you get the opportunity to respond. So it immediately raises the question about whether this figures are thumb sucking or not. Child Justice Act,
1.7 million. This Act, almost 1.9. Now, interesting enough, when the bill was presented to us at the session where it said cost to the state, it said no cost to the state. Luckily, a month later, the committee has now forced us to recognize and acknowledge that it's going to cost almost 2 million rand. Because why? Because 2 million rand in SAPS's budget for them is like 2 rand in another person's budget. You need to start changing your attitude towards the money that you spend. I want to know who are the role players that you say have been consulted nationally around this. Who are they specifically? And when did this meeting take place? Secondly, who in the provinces were consulted and when did this meeting take place? Questions around baseline budget has been addressed. I think where it deals with legal services, one can understand it because it will not be an extra cost. It's part of the daily work of the people. But where there are communication, it becomes an issue. Also share the concern of the Honourable Groenewald. Your biggest problem is not the new students. Your biggest problem in terms of training these people are your current police officers. And your training program is not addressing that. Can I ask the 200,000 rand for the Z cards? How many Z cards are going to be printed? How many? How many posters are you going to print for again 200,000 rand? Remember, you're dealing with politicians that print every 5 years, and that's got quite a good idea about printing costs as well. The distribution question has been asked. Booklets to be printed, and then it's going to be sent for trainings and basic training colleges. 80,000 and POPs units. 80,000. And the rest, where are they going to sit and gather dust? Because you don't have 80,000 students, and neither do you have combined with POPs 80,000. What are we talking about here? 80,000 booklets. Page 6 of your presentation. You know, these station lectures is also a theory. We know that it's not happening in every station. How are you going to communicate this with stations who does not have telephones, who does not have computers, who does not have access to Paul TV? And please don't tell me there are none. Because if you do, I will tell you exactly where you can go and find one in the Northwest now. I found it also want to know the 400,000 that you've budgeted for public information material in all official languages, how many pamphlets are we talking about? How many? Number determined cost. The wide circulation of pamphlets via police stations and CPF at public events. Going to ask the minister to train people through Imbizos. There was another question I want to ask. For me, there's an absolute discrepancy in terms of all legal service officers from level 11, I presume it is, upward, all provincial and cluster visible aids to attend 5 training sessions. But then we go and train the trainers in one session, the field trainers. How many people are we talking about when we talk about all legal service officers from level 11 upwards And how many people are we talking about when we say all provincial and cluster this 4 weeks? How many people are we talking about? Because I find this 500,000 rand that's budgeted for it high compared to the amount that is budgeted for the field trainers, the training for the field trainers. Because you're budgeting ISPD trainers. They're going to be the ones that are going to disseminate at grassroots level the information. You budget for 2 training sessions for them. Not 5, like for these cluster guys that sit up there, that when you get to a station doesn't even know that the station for the past 6 months did not have a telephone line. Not talking about you training them 5 times. You're training the trainers 2 sessions, and I presume we can say that's a split between the provinces. We don't know whether it's 2 sessions for the same trainers or whether it's 2 sessions for different trainers. We don't know. It's not speaking to it. So can you clarify that for us? How many people are we talking about? Are we talking about 2 sessions for the same people? Are we talking about 1 session in the northern provinces, 1 session in the southern provinces? What are we talking about here? Orientate provincial field training supervisors in 1 session. So we start at the top. For the top we give 5 sessions. Then we go to the middle, and for them we give 2 sessions. Then we go to the guy that must train the police officers, but for him we only give 1 session. And the amount is the top with their 5 sessions, and with that I associate we're going to be in a luxurious hotel doing so, 500,000 rand. Then we get to the middle. Let's downgrade where you get your training. Now we're talking 160,000. Now we talk about the field trainer, the guy that must train the police officer, the people that Honourable Groenewald is speaking about. 1 session, 80,000 rand. I'm not sure, but for me it seems skewed. I'm sorry. And secretary, can I say to you, through you, also to the minister, do not come to this committee again introducing legislation without an implementation plan and proper costing. Never. Never ever again. And this thing about this department simply saying no cost to the state must stop. You can respond to the questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Member.
Can I suggest that you do the following? Members, if you're in agreement, I would suggest that Commissioner Motiba starts at page 1. He then deals with the questions that came out of page 1. He then goes to page 2, he deals with the questions that came out of page 2, so that we don't miss anything.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'll try to do exactly that, although I didn't write them in terms of the pages from which they were made. So honourable members will if I'm missing anything, please indicate so.
Commissioner Motiba, I'm suggesting to you again that I'm actually chairing the meeting, so I will ask the members to indicate. You can focus on your presentation and your answers.
No, I'm aware you are chairing, honourable Chairperson. I respect.
They restrain from directing the meeting. We will do so.
In terms of indicate money, not line function budget, honourable Chairperson, we are allocated funds that look at point number one. We don't know when this act will be promulgated. We don't know when it will be promulgated, when it will become operational. What we know is that it will not be promulgated in this financial year. That one we know. So we are looking for incidental, those costs that will happen. If the act is promulgated in the next financial year, 2013-2014, where we indicate that line function baseline budget will be utilized, we mean that the relevant environment has indicated to us that they don't need additional allocation. Our budget is divided, Honourable Chairperson, into the budget of the different environments, provinces, divisions, and the budget that lies with the CFO, where if there's something that come out, you cannot have funds to cover that, then we go to the National Commissioner, we ask for additional funding. So what we mean by non-function budget is that the budget that will be allocated in the next financial year, the line function baseline budget will be utilized for that purpose.
Honourable George?
What we are requesting, you see, if you say General Motive, can you look at me so that you, since coming with your papers, might not hear what I'm saying. If you are saying line function baseline budget will be utilized, my assumption is that you know how much is that. Do you know how much is that? Because that to us is important. You can't say line function budget will be utilized if you don't know how much money you're talking about.
Commissioner Motiva, switch off your microphone, please.
A point of clarity here. I mean, when the budget's put together, items are already, the pieces are already, this will go to this, this will go to that, it's already allocated. So that's why I was trying to say, well, have you now worked with all of the heads of all the areas that will be involved in order to determine that actually they will set aside this money, do they have the money to set aside, are they proposing? I mean, I'm presuming they've already drawn up a proposed budget because it should be presented to this committee soon.
Chairperson, the different environments have indicated that they will cover it within their line function budget because in terms of the nature and extent of this training, it is something which they can cover. Honourable Chairperson, I must point out that there are things that happen that you don't necessarily plan for. For instance, this morning we are here. The question might be, what money did we use to come here? It is part of that money which the CFO and the National Commissioner allocate to say, if Parliament told you, an example I'm trying to use is that in terms of the cost will not be astronomical, and the cost is what the different environments can absorb within their environment. But I take it, Honourable Chairperson, that the members want to see the rent and sense in terms of deadline function budget, and that information can be made available as soon as possible.
Can we therefore presume, General, that what you are telling us is not factual? Can we then presume that? Because the example that you use, that you are not supposed to be here, but you are here. Can we therefore presume that what has been given here is not factual?
Honourable Chairperson.
Commissioner Motiva, if a member asks a question, I'm not going to ask you again to switch off your microphone when they do that. You can continue.
It's factual in as far as we know at the time of writing this report. But it will not be factual when the Act is promulgated because a lot of factors would have kicked in. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can you explain that statement? Because you say it's factual at the time that you prepared this document, but it will not be factual when the Act kicks in. So why are we wasting our time?
Chairperson, when the Act comes in, we don't know when it will come in. In terms of the sexuality, as we're talking today, the line function budget will be utilized. But the honourable member wants to find out from me, is it factual, is it not factual? The most important thing is that we know that when the Act I cannot talk about when the Act is promulgated, but I can talk about what is in today and what we do forecast. The most important thing is the South African Police Service at the different levels will make the necessary funds available for the implementation of the Act. So So I'm not having the rent and sense in terms of the line, baseline budget.
I've tried to explain, I've tried to help Commissioner Motiba, but he's obviously not listening to it either. Where it is functions like legal services, even to some extent, not fully, to some extent communications, it is what they do on a daily basis, so there will not be extra cost to that. Commissioner Jacobs, I'm correct in assuming that. That's what it's part of your normal functions, your daily duties.
Jefferson, that is correct, but we have made some input on two issues specifically. The one was the communication with legal services officers, and the amount that's indicated there, 500,000, is not totally our amount. We indicated 250,000, and that was based on the figure with the last, we have a quarterly meeting with legal officials, and that was based on exactly the same officials, number of officials that will be involved in this. So that would cost 250,000 rand, and we saw that as a once-off expenditure to just give legal officials that orientation to be able to advise firstly, and where they are involved is not our main task to do training, but where they are involved in any interaction that they will be able to communicate on this. And then, Chair, the other issue was the booklet. We got through communications a quote from a printer, which quoted us 1.70 rand for a booklet of about 10 pages, which will contain photographs, and which we thought, and that is the reason why we've included 80,000. We thought we want a copy with every operational member, including detectives and who will investigate the cases, etc. And that is the reason why we have indicated 80,000 booklets. And if you would time 80,000 with 1.70 rand, that is the amount you will get down to 160,000, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
I also agree that this thing, the bullet under that specific point is they're not speaking to what you are saying. Because the bullet says trainees in basic training colleges is where it's going to be distributed, and public order policing units. That's not the 80,000 people you are speaking about.
Chair, I agree that I think the distribution that we intended was much wider than only that indicated in the plan, Chair.
Yet, Commissioner, you want to tell us that this thing has been consulted and all the different units are in agreement.
Jefferson, I'll hand over to General Pina. Thank you.
Just answer the question first, please, before you hand over.
There's consultations that have taken place, extensive consultations, and what is in this document is a reflection of the input and the need of the other environment.
Before I allow Commissioner Pinard to continue, members, the tea is ready. It's 5 to 11. Can we break until 10 past 11? Then we'll come back, and I suggest that the department talk to one another and get your house in order.
Thank you. hou donder af.
Thank you.
May Mrs. Singh pause? Can we start? Ms. Mulabatsi, some of your members are still outside. Your members are still outside. Continue answering the questions, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to start on slide three with the request, the question that was, why do we have so many different stakeholders dealing with the same issue? Starting with the implementation guidelines, what we want to do is to have specific operational environments dealing with operational guidelines for their members so that we can explain in a specific context. So the people dealing with, for instance, crowd management can explain how people in that context must deal with it. They can give specific scenarios. So we're going to involve different operational experts to give content that can go under the operational guidelines. But it will be distributed along with the legal services circular. So there is a leading agency in each case, but there's provision to give you an indication of who will be giving input to that process. Then if I can go on to the slide five that speaks to the Z card. We have just done a printing of Z cards for another program, and we based this costing on that cost. And for 200,000 Z cards, which makes provision for all the police members, it is 200,000 rand. This is an approximate cost. I just rounded it off because, as you know, every time you do a quote, there will be a slight difference. But the current print that we did for 200,000, again, for every member to get one in their salary slip was 200,000 rand. And that was done at the last quarter of the previous year, 2012.
Just indicate to us how many Z cards are we
speaking? 200,000.
200,000.
Okay. Then the printing for the notice boards, that would be for all the police stations, and there's provision for 1,500 to be printed, so there's some additional ones to use for exhibitions and so on. Again, Communication Services gave me a quote based on very recent posters they printed of approximately 200,000 rand. Again, it's rounded off.
What is the total amount of posters? That's the number of posters.
1,500. So,
there's 1,270 something stations, 227 stations, and you're printing 300 extra. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we've 1,132 police stations. We're printing some extra because some of the police stations have more than one office, for instance. They have detective offices in different venues. Also for satellite police station contact points, for the cluster offices, and then we can use some in the communications environment when they arrange exhibitions and when they go out to do events. The double page spread on the SAPS journal and SAPS online magazine, this magazines are budgeted for a year. So there is an operational budget where they provide for issuing so many, and we can then add content to that. So there's no additional cost for us to provide the specific content to focus on this act in that journal. But there is obviously cost to printing the journal, which is part of the normal communications budget for the journal. It's difficult to then give a specific cost to say that article and that one issue will cost so much, but essentially there is a cost involved. The booklet, Madam Honourable Chairperson, this is my oversight to not add a third bullet. I wanted to specify that we want to target specifically the trainees and the public order policing unit, but the remaining booklets that will be made available to the resource officials with training, because we did specify later on in the plan that we want to use the legal services officers and the school heads at station, cluster and provincial level as resource officers, so they will get booklets, and they will be given booklets to also hand out to the people as they go and do the initial briefing session. Then, because the booklet has the actual, will have the wording of the act included as well. The Paul TV program, again, the DVDs is an additional cost, which we've indicated for how much quantity, but the Paul TV programs is, again, it's a budget for the year to produce a certain number of Paul TV programs. So again, they will use that additional budget provision to make a specific program for us on this bill, the Act. Then, again on the briefings where we indicated legal services and this school. The reason why it's both is because they are the people that we would have trained to go out and give these briefings, and they are already sitting on the provincial cluster and station level ECTS, and we are adding specifically the school and legal services because maybe at a provincial level you have a legal services person or a cluster person level to give that briefing, but at station level you may not have a legal services person at every station, and that is where your provincial cluster and station level the school heads will have to assist with giving those briefings at the ECCS. Then on your When Duty Calls program, again it's an instance where there's an annual budget for a number of programs of When Duty Calls, and every When Duty Calls program makes provision for a diary insert. So they will include the content for us in terms of their existing budget for When Duty Calls. Then the public information materials, the pamphlets and official languages, the costing was again given to me by Communication Services. We work on 2,000 to 3,000 pamphlets per station, but they do a language breakdown based on every station's language needs. And so it comes to about 3.5 million pamphlets based on the specific language needs, and the costing there is in 400,000 would be enough to give between 2,000 and 3,000 pamphlets per station. I cannot be more exact at this point, but this is based on, again, recent pamphlets that Communication Services printed. When we do the actual breakdown and we ask for quotes, then we will get a very specific amount. Then on the briefings to stakeholders, again, the reason why there's different stakeholders involved there. All of these operational, all of these functional divisions at national level work with specific stakeholders, and the intention is that each of them would go to their stakeholder forum. So corporate communication, for instance, works with GCIS and other communicators, and will make sure that they use the communication networks to carry this message. ORS deals specifically with stakeholders in the security and the joint environment. This will deal with stakeholders in the clusters that we work with on specific programs. Detective Services is involved in specific JCPS structures. So each of the divisions in structures where they deal with stakeholders will carry through this message. Then the pamphlet, there was a specific question about what do we mean, it's very vague, so the cost of the pamphlet is included. It's because we've indicated on the previous slide, slide 7, that the pamphlets will cost about 400,000 rand. So when we refer to using pamphlets here, that is the pamphlets we're talking about. At the public events, and when these events take place, there is usually exhibitions set up and members engaging with the public, and we then also hand out information materials, and the intention is to then use the members at these events to also make the materials available. The interviews with the experts, there is an arrangement with GCIS and SAPS Communication. Negotiate on an annual basis with community radio for public information messages. They do pay an annual cost for that, but they wouldn't pay a specific cost for this message. It's included in the annual agreement where they carry some of our messages for us, public information messages. So I've just called them to just make sure of the cost, and they say it's about 360,000 that we pay a year for community radio stations to carry police messaging. And this would be one of the police messages that can be carried as part of that arrangement. If I can move on to the Dangerous Weapons Bill training. The 500 copies of the new module is specifically for the trainers that must be trained. It makes provision for all the trainers that will receive a copy. This plan was actually, the training plan was developed by the Division HRD. By the unit that deals with in-service training, they consulted their basic training unit and they consulted their training that does curriculum development. So it was three different units in HRD that worked together to assist us with this plan. And they based their figures on the exact numbers of trainers that they need to provide. Unfortunately, I couldn't get hold of them now to just give you the numbers, but they did work on specific numbers. Then the training for legal services and VISPL, the intention there is, as I've mentioned before, is to use the legal services senior officials and the VISPL heads as resource personnel. We want them to assist us in making sure that the members really understand what needs to be done here. Legal services indicated that they will need 250,000 for a session, for one national session with all their senior staff. That's from Colonel and upwards. From Westport, we included 250,000. That is basically 50,000 per session for 5 sessions, where we will try and target as many people as possible from every province. So we've got 5 sessions. We've got 176 clusters, 9 provinces, so 185 people that we want to divide into 5 sessions and have a session at, not necessarily specifically at national level, but have 5 sessions convened by the national office with the provincial and cluster heads of visible policing, and then request them to make sure that all the stations are fit, are similarly briefed. So those provincial and cluster heads would then need to go to every station and do an initial briefing with them. So
indicate us how many legal officers are we talking about?
Madam Chair, I refer to my colleague in legal services to just assist with that answer.
Honourable George.
I thought you said they gave you a figure of 250,000 and you also came with these 5 sessions, 50,000 to make, but my question now, why did you not communicate with them, especially that that is their specific and special fate? Because it, from what they don't know about this 500,000, you might be right, but why did you not communicate with them?
Members, I think that she's explained that what they did wrong on here is 250,000 is legal services, 250,000 is this pool. So they've combined the two figures instead of giving it separately. If I understood it correctly, but you can indicate to the member, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, relating to the legal officers, the colonels and brigadiers and majors general, it would be in the region of about 70 people, if I can make, it is just a guesstimate now at this stage. But that was the previous big meeting that we held with legal services was in that region. And what we must realize as well that is that not all legal officers are involved in operational matters. But this is not an extraordinary meeting as well. We have a quarterly meeting, so we can actually if I can say, it is very much a line function issue, because we have the quarterly meetings and where we raise all the legal issues, whether it's legislation from other departments, court cases, etc. So it's really not an additional cost, but we thought we will make it visible in terms of the budget of this chair. And we did convey it, I think like the chair has explained, the amount of 250,000 rand was included, bringing it to the total amount of 500,000 rand.
So the 3,000 plus per legal officer is not only for this, it is for your quarterly meeting and it will be discussed there. It will be part of the agenda. Can you please?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The 50,000 for each of the 5 sessions from the Visible Policing makes provision for us basically using an external venue if we have to, but that is depending on the availability of police venues. We will always first try to find a police venue to use.
Yeah, we will check that, because we believe there's suddenly this tendency to have not make use of police facilities, like the management meeting of last week as well. Continue, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. So it is an approximate cost providing for the new external facilities if we need to, and the bringing the people together, the travel and accommodation costs, because in some cases they would come from further away, in other cases like Gauteng it would just be basically travelling costs, not accommodation necessarily. Then the sessions for the basic police development law trainers in 2 sessions, it's based on the number of trainers. They can accommodate up to city trainers in a session, but when the sessions become too big, it's necessary to break it down into 2 sessions. So I don't have the number of exactly how many trainers, but I know the training works on how many they can accommodate in a session, and I can find out from them just exactly how many they're providing for. But it's based on the number of law trainers that they have in basic and in all the different basic training colleges. And they can't accommodate them in 1 session. They need to do that in 2 sessions. The same applies to the in-service police development and management and leadership development trainers. Again, it's specific trainers that they already have that present these programs. And the intention is that this module of training will go into that existing program. So they need to now make sure that the trainers understand what they're going to train them in. So that is, it's bring the trainers in, make sure that they understand the new content, and then they go and continue to present this as part of the training. again, it's based on the number of trainers that are already trained. Then for the field trainers, the intention there is that they make provision in one session for all the provincial supervisors of field trainers. That's not all the field trainers of the police. It's the provincial supervisors of the field trainers. So again, one session there is adequate because they will be able to include all the provincial supervisors in one session. But then those supervisors need to go out and train their field trainers, which is part of their normal work. That's what they do. They, on an ongoing basis, must supervise and assist their field trainers. So they will then go and work with each of the field trainers, which is why that indication is that it's part of their life function responsibility. And okay, let me just go back. The rollout by the field training officers is then the rollout of for the station level personnel. But I just want to emphasize, Honourable Chairperson and members, that the intention here is that the legal services officers and the visible heads will be the initial people taking responsibility for this. So why are we calling them first, and why we want to get to all of them is we want to give them the responsibility to guide and support the members at station level, because they're also senior people in their operational context. Then they will be supported by the field trainers who will, in their state to make this, train the members as well, and they're supposed to, and I recognize that doesn't always take place as it should, but the instruction will be that will go out with this request is that they must provide for all the members of station level to be undergoing at least one station lecture on this matter. And then your provincial plus the station visible heads must provide ongoing support to the members in this regard. And that will then be complemented also by the communication information tools, every member receiving a red card, every member having access to the information that will be on communicated to them through the circulars and the internet.
Before you continue with that, the problem here with the deadline is strong. It's not giving a deadline in terms of when it should be done, by when it must be finished. And that's our problem that we have when we get to stations. For instance, your detectives still don't know about the fingerprint legislation. They don't know. And that's not thumb-sucking from our side. We can prove it to you through our reports that we've done. So the question here is that what we require from you here is deadlines by when it should be done, by when every single police officer, operational police officer, must have this training. So can you correct that for us, please?
Honourable Chairperson, yes, we will correct that. I think the issue for us now is that we don't know the exact dates yet, and when we have dates, we need to make this a project plan with exact dates that says when must we do what. At the moment, because we don't have those dates, it's very difficult to say on this date this will happen. So it's trying to work back from the implementation date and say we will need a month before implementation date, we will need 6 weeks before implementation date. What our plan basically requires us to do is, if you look at the...
Should it then not be better to say within 6 weeks of the proclamation all this training must have been done, rather to say from the moment that, because then you're not going... You're not putting pressure on anybody to do it. So should it not rather read 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know, from proclamation? This is an open-ended thing. So the field trainer can say, everybody can say, I'll train somebody when I feel like it.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, we could make that change. If you look at slide 10.2, for instance, we said 6 weeks before implementation. As soon as we have the implementation date, we work back and just say, at this date, this must happen. So then we can give very specific dates, but we take the point you made on board, and I think we can make that correction on the plan.
Ms. Kulabana?
You know, it's this implementation date that I fear. You know, we passed the second-hand goods bill 4 years ago, this committee, I think it was, and it took 4 years to write up the regulations. It's set. We thought, you know, we're silly. We think that if we work day and night, and we get legislation through and passed, that actually it's going to be implemented timeously. We don't expect to wait for 4 years and people still have never heard of it. We go to a station and ask about the secondhand goods or the fingerprint or any of the legislation that we've passed. And it's dismal, the response. So you're talking about a matter of weeks and wishing this through, and I'm wondering, is this a wish list? Is this any way within the realms of reality? Because I just can't compute in my own brain the fact that every other legislation we've passed has languished, and it's rare to find a SAPS member who even knows anything about it, and what is being put here before us.
Honourable Wallabata, Honourable Teddy.
Thank you, Chair. Let me thank Commissioner Pina for the input. And my question is on, you say you don't have the number of trainers. For training to occur, you need trainers. And my thinking is by now you should be having an indication of how many trainers you have. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Tilly?
I'm
sorry, good answer.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I hope I will get to the members' question as well. The trainers, the numbers of trainers, it is known, it's just not known to me at this moment, and I apologise for that. The training experts who developed the plan recommended the costing use the exact numbers of trainers, and we didn't specify it in the plan, and that's our oversight. We should have given for so many trainers, so we can correct that, but they definitely know how many trainers they've got. It's just not specified, and hence I don't want to get, but I know it's a group of less than 50 because we don't take a group of more than 50 for training. Then in terms of the question that was asked earlier, which financial year's budget are we dealing with? This plan, because we're already at the middle of the last month of the financial year, we are working on the budget for the next financial year, 2013-2014, but there will be carry-through costs to the next financial year as well, because the intention is that some of the training that we're talking about, which are existing in-service training programs and even the basic training program, will continue. So this module that we're changing in those existing programs will continue for the next financial year. And as long as they train members, as long as they train crowd management members, this content will be in that module. So it will definitely have carry-through costs beyond, but for the implementation, we're focusing on the 2013-2014 financial year.
You see that the reason why members, I'll come to you, Honourable Ndlovu, why members are asking this question. The Child Justice Act again. Let's not even go to your last presentation on the implementation of that. Became operational on the 1st of April 2010. At the end of 2011-12, only half of operational members were trained on it. And that's why we say we need to cut off that. We can't have this open-ended thing, when we get to it, we will do it. We want to know from this plan, and that will be one of the corrections that you're going to submit to us, when is the cut-off date for the training? And it's either 6 weeks or 8 weeks. We're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about giving a police officer the discretion to arrest somebody in the street because they're carrying a stick. So you want that person to have the training to back his discretion, the discretional powers that we are giving him. So what we need from you is the cut-off date for this training, not once it's been implemented. That is what we need. Honourable Ndlovu, you had a follow-up?
Chairperson, I wanted to know now, which part of this bill or this act, if it's coming with the act, will be implementable this financial year? Which part of it? Can I respond, Chairperson?
Respond. You don't have to put your microphone on to ask me whether you can respond. You can just raise your hand. You can respond.
Chairperson, this financial year is already gone. So this financial year is ending at the end of March. So, Chairperson,
you're not answering the question. We all know this financial year ends the end of this month. Members are asking you, the member has asked you, what part of this can be implemented this year as well? And, I mean, logically, legal services can start drafting the instructions. logically there are things that can be done in this financial year. Nobody's going to sit back and wait for 1st of April before you start working on it, hopefully. So that's why the member is asking that question. Which parts of it can be implemented now already? Which part of this implementation plan? Honourable George?
Madam Chair, that question came when General Pinar said some of the things will be done in the 2013-2014 financial year, and then some of them will be done in the 2014-2015. Now that is why the question arises. Which part? You must remember what the chairperson said. There are parts in this bill which give discretion to the police, which even us as members were a little bit uncomfortable. But we said with proper training. Now, we want to know which parts, because you said some parts will be implemented, will be done in 2014, 2015. That's why that question comes, Madam Chair.
Secretary, can you also, Honourable Venables, recognising you, can you also indicate to us, I know that the department can ask for a period before it becomes active, the legislation, implementation date. Have they been, are you planning to do so in this regard, or is it going to be enacted fully by the time that it's, this president signs off on it?
Obviously, based on what happened with the Secondhand Goods Act, which and how long it took for that act to be implemented, the minister wants to also see the implementation plan and that it's implementable before enacting it. But, however, having said that, this is a bill that we would like enacted as soon as possible because of the nature of the bill in terms of its ability to deal with a range of different crime issues that we're facing in the country. The minister would obviously also want to have a look at the details of the implementation plan and the details of the national instructions, but we would want it implemented literally as soon as it's gone through all the processes, but we would also want to see that implementation plan is workable before it's implemented.
Honourable Funderbold?
I just wanted to say, and I'd like to know, Chairperson, I will support the General if we can, or the Commissioner if we can still do it this financial year.
Please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I think for the current financial year, the content that's semi-drafted, we can start with that as soon as the final text of the bill is confirmed. And I think this morning in the session, the committee basically gave us the indication of that. The other issues that we can deal with the project planning, because we need to now take this implementation plan and turn it into a project plan that tasks specific people to do specific things at certain times, taking the chairperson's comments on board with that there must be specific cut-off dates for the training. So that we can start with immediately. But the actual implementation of the plan as we've drafted it here with the training sessions happening and the printing of banners and so on will happen with the new financial year. But there's certainly things that we can start with in terms of getting ready right away. Then there was a question in terms of who did we involve specifically and when did the sessions happen. There was a request from General Jacobs to a number of divisional commissioners to provide input to the plan. Visible policing used that request to convene a work session with all the provinces. We invited the provincial commissioners to send in a representative, and we requested that they look at the operational aspect, so we didn't ask for legal services representatives. We got basically the four heads of the provinces to assist us. We had five provinces who could attend the session. It was convened at fairly short notice. I think we sent out the invitation on the 19th of February, and we convened the session for the 26th of February. It took place on the 26th of February. We also had representatives from corporate communication and legal services in the session and detective service. Unfortunately, we didn't have representatives from every single one of the provinces. Four of the provinces could not attend. And we also didn't have a representative from Operational Response Service or HRD. However, following the session, when we were tasked to put the final implementation plan together, we did engage in depth with human resource development and corporate communication with the costing of the plan. And there was also specific inputs given to General Jacobs by divisions who were not part of our session that was incorporated into the plan. For instance, our ACE gave their input as part of their input to General Jacobs. So then there was also a request sent to all the provincial legal services heads who also gave feedback to General Jacobs. Not all of them provided input, but but the inputs that were provided we've incorporated in the plan. So then the final plan, when we put everything together, it was sent back to the divisional commissioners responsible for those environments to just confirm what we've put into the plan so that they can take note of the implications for their budgets and the commitments made. Honourable Chairperson, I hope I've dealt adequately with that question. So the work session took place on the 26th and we gave the feedback from the session to the legal services environment on the 27th of February.
I hope Commissioner Jacobs sensible to all the other divisional commissioners and other sections of the police for having to incorporate their things in what is clearly not a line function of legal services. Implementation lies with the line functions. It lies with the line functions. And I must say, I'm disgusted to hear you at this meeting on the 26th when you were supposed to appear before this committee. The day that you asked for extension. And despite the meeting of the 26th taking place, you then again didn't pitch up at the next meeting, the 5th, without an apology. Continue, please.
I'm not sure that there are still questions that we haven't answered. Let me just go through the list.
Any of your questions outstanding? Okay. Members, can I get a suggestion from the floor how we deal with this implementation plan, given the fact that we are up for debate next week? Ms. Kulabana?
While I'm really not impressed by the implementation plan, and I think I'm also reading it through eyes that are feeling so insulted by the department's behaviour towards this committee, although I must say now it sounds a lot more reasonable than it sounded previously, I would ask, well, we've got to do oversight on this. I mean, when I ever discovered that the regulations had not even been drawn up 4 years after we passed the second-hand goods bill, I realise we have a major problem. So for this indeed, and I mean it's just the deadlines, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I mean I've never actually known SAPs meet a deadline, but I think at each phase of the implementation of this plan, we need feedback in this committee. We need oversight all the way down the line. So that costing of each of these sections of the implementation plan. So that's what I would ask for, that we do receive a full briefing on each and every stage of the implementation of this, and I think actually this committee should look forward and make that standard procedure, because we've seen the absolute failure of SAPS to implement the legislation we passed. So that has now led us to going to the kindergarten route of overseeing every single section of the implementation plan. As you go down and you say, we've done this, come and tell us. Have you done it? What did it cost? Did you meet your deadline? Why didn't you meet your deadline? If you met it, congratulations. If you didn't, you need a really good reason. So I'm afraid we're going to have to go that route. That's my feeling. I'd be very keen to hear what other members have to say.
Honourable Groenewald, and was it Honourable Mdlovu?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to say that, and I want to say to the Honourable members, they can also be Honourable members, they must remember one thing, that if they appear in front of this committee, they're the image of the South African Police Services. And I must say that I'm a bit disappointed of what I have experienced. That does not create trust from the people. And I'm talking about the general public, because this is the public. So we must get our acts together. We must have to be professional. And I'm very sorry to say that the presentation was not really professional. The most important, Chairperson, is that if you, and I've asked my specific question, I'm still worried, and I've heard the answers, but I also want to ask, if we get our final plan, that in the end, because that is where the crux of the whole matter is, that our present members of the police service, who is not going to a new training, basic training or anything like that, that we have a specific date. That we, as members of the portfolio committee, if I walk into a police station and I ask a member there, after this implementation date, what do you know about the dangerous weapons law? That member must be able to brief me on that. And I think that is what the public is expecting. And that is actually what we're asking. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable George.
No, Chairperson, I think my colleague has taken my point. Because it seems as if provisionally, we should have rejected this plan from the beginning. But provisionally, if we are going to do it like this, Chairperson, because we are going to do it phase by phase, therefore they must come back to us and give us the phase that they've implemented with the costing of it, so that we'll know exactly where are we. As my last colleague is saying, if you go to the police station, a police personnel down there must know what he's dealing with, or she's dealing with, whatever. That's a provision that we are putting forward. Because as far as we are concerned, I don't think in an actual agreeing of what is taking place today should be a proper professional way of doing things. It's not really a professional way. We should have run about 3-4 days to deal with this matter. But because of time factor, provisionally we agree, but we went phase by phase of knowing exactly what is taking place.
Honourable George and then Honourable Mulabatsi.
Madam Chair, I want to say, especially to General Mutibe, to be honest with you, General, under normal circumstances, we would reject this implementation. But we look at also at our work. This is a very terrible year for us. I've seen a list of bills coming. We can't put ourselves under pressure because the Department of Police does not want to operate professionally. All what I'm saying through you, Madam Chair, I'm saying it to you, General Matilde. Can you please, people, try to operate professionally? I'm just saying, Madam Chair, now to you, we must accept this implementation plan. Fortunately, when I was outside, I had a chance of talking to General Mutibe. And because I could sense that he was not understanding, but when we finished talking, he was saying he understands where I was coming from. And that to me, and also General Pinar also indicated that they understand. I think on that basis, let's move ahead. But what worries me is also the report that you said, that you call a meeting on the 26th for 9 provinces. Only, you said, 5 did not pitch up. And you don't say anything about the consequences. Because if the police are run their department like that, you call a meeting, people are free to attend or not to attend, and you don't do anything. It means, again, you call a meeting, they will not attend, and there are no consequences. So I'm saying, Madam Chair, I believe, not fully satisfied as we are, but I think on the basis of what we have now communicated with them, I'm sure they will come now with a proper plan, and I think we must proceed.
Thank you for that, Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. To stop, you have a tarnished image to rebuild, and that calls for doubling your efforts in everything you do from now and forth. And to say, let us accept this implementation plan with the commitment from SAPS that there will be regular updates on their progress, which will be coupled with consequences. The person, we are at a point that
the consequences will also help subs to rebuild their image. Thank you, Chair.
To close this part of it, because we still need to vote on the bill.
Chair, I just wondered if we'd had an answer to, I think it was your question, where you put it that the amount that is set aside, I think it's 1.8 million at the end, was actually more than previously when we'd introduced an entire, you know, this is just an amendment as opposed to an entire act. So I wasn't sure if that had been addressed in the answers.
I don't think it was, but I don't know whether they're in a position to give an answer to it. Are you in a position to give an answer to it? Secretary?
Not necessarily to give an answer, but to make a comment on it, because I think you also asked us to note that. I think one of our concerns is that the Child Justice Act has not been as effectively implemented as it needs to be implemented, and that a lot of things were said. They said, no, it's okay, we don't need money, we can just do this. We would rather see them cost in, okay? It doesn't mean that tax is asking in addition to its budget or that training is asking for more money, but we would rather see them give a breakdown of those costs and it to be higher, because we're not changing training's budget. It's not like training is now going to get more budget than it had anyway, but we'd rather like to see them give a proper financial breakdown rather than to come glibly and say no cost involved, and then we land up like we are with the Child Justice Act where things are not effectively implemented. So I think that's just more comment than clarity on it.
I think if we can, what the Secretary of Police basically is saying in the case of Child Justice Act might be that they've under-budgeted and that they're not necessarily over-budgeting for this bill, but that they've under-budgeted. And the mere fact that you've only trained half of your operational officers on the Child Justice Act is an indication thereof. And that is also why we say we want deadlines. Not this open-ended drafting of implementation plans. Members, if I can summarise this section of the meeting. Commissioner Mutiva, we expect a written apology to this committee. A written apology. For the department messing up this committee's program, for the disregard that the department has shown towards Parliament and the committee. Written apology. I hope you've taken note of that. Second thing is that the committee instructs the department to give it feedback on every aspect of the implementation plan. And I'm going to ask that the committee secretary and the researcher sit and that they draw up a roster for us so that we can see on this date we are supposed to be getting feedback on what has happened in terms of the implementation of this Act. That feedback must include the number of people trained. It must include the final cost. And we're clear about it. Honourable Mulabatsa, I want us to vote on the bill. Are you coming back? Okay.
You may call home off.
Yeah, you've got to be quick, please. That must include the detail. So we're not talking at the end of the process. Let me take it. Drafting of circular to announce implementation date and the requirements for SAPs. Once that is done, feedback. Second one, drafting of implementation guidelines and information to police on the implications of this legislation. When it's done, feedback. You treat us with contempt. You've got to start looking at the consequences as well. And I want to add my voice to Honourable Mulabatsi specifically about the tarnished image of the police. And unfortunately, Commissioner Tina, it's in your division where this is happening, the tarnishing of the image of the police. It's in this fall where it's happening. Davidson is this fall. We can continue. Herbertdale, this fall. We can go to Vienna Bridge, this fall. And we want to see consequences. That's what we expect. That's what the public expect.
And consequences include those people who are responsible at that level for command and control. We don't see consequences. Consequences will come from this committee side as well. Members, I want us to go back to the bill. Commissioner Mutiva, I don't want to give you a deadline for the apology, but I would expect that apology to reach this committee not later than tomorrow. Back to you. I want to just go back to the bill, Honourable Groenewald.
Chairperson, unfortunately I have another portfolio committee at 12. Just for the record purposes, I support the amendments. Of course, I have to take it to my caucus for final approval, but just for the record purposes. I thank you.
Thank you for that. Honourable Groenewald did indicate to me that he will have to leave for another committee, but we've been joined again by Honourable Stuber in the meantime, so let us go back to the B version of the bill. I put the long title. Can I hear just, if you could just say agree, if you agree, please agree. Clause 1. New clause. Clause 2. Clause 4. Is that correct? Why is there no clause 3?
The session chair of the that part on the exceptions.
Good. Clause 4. Agree. Clause 5. There isn't a clause 5, the new clause. Okay, clause 5 agreed. So we agree. Where's that thing? I put to the committee report on the Portfolio Committee on Police on the Dangerous Weapons Bill, B37 of 2012, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 12 March 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Police, having considered the subject of the Dangerous Weapons Bill amendment, Bill B37 2012, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the Joint Tagging Mechanism as the Section 75 Bill, reports the bill with amendments B37A 2012 report to be considered. I put the question, can I get a mover? Ms. Willibachi is moving. Can I get a seconder? General Ndlovu. Thank you very much, Honourable Ndlovu. The bill is then adopted by the committee and will go to Parliament. And as I indicated to members, I was informed that the bill will be debated on the 17th, on the 19th. Honourable Mulaleki, I want to close the meeting.
General Chairperson, when we talked last week, you indicated that there might be no discussion. When we discussed this thing in our caucus, I also raised that because, and I still believe that looking at this bill, I don't know whether we shouldn't just adopt this bill, but if, see my fear, if you allow us to debate this bill, small as it is, we're just going to say we talk about the bill and then we're going to talk about what happened in Marikana and what happened in KwaZulu-Natal and talk about everything. I mean, we are politicians. You give us to discuss a bill which to me there's no, we'll go there not discuss this bill and say everything we wanted to say about the police. That's why I thought we would stick to that proposal that we just present and say the bill is agreed to by all. But
Honourable Lord,
I will differ a little bit. I agree with the principle, but what has happened today, it tells me that we have to tell South Africa that we do trust the police, somewhere, somehow. Although there is an image that is looming somewhere, but
you're protected.
Although there is a perception that is looming somewhere, somehow, but we have to do that. That is why, therefore, Chairperson, when we debate this bill, we don't talk about anything else, we talk about only this bill and the behavior and the phases of the police of what we have said about it. We don't talk about anything which is outside this bill, because it will cloud the situation and people won't understand what we are talking about. Let us be focused when we are dealing with this matter.
I don't want us to have a discussion on whether we're debating the bill or not. It's not our decision to take in any case. We can just make a recommendation to the programming committee, which we will do, but it's up to the programming committee to decide. I also think that debating the bill gives an opportunity to air, and it's part of education to society out there around the bill as well. But that is not for us to decide. I want to close the meeting, members, so please, Honourable Kulabana, Honourable Legetu.
Yeah, I must say, obviously, we also will take it back for the final draft to the caucus. But I just want to say from my side, while I'm very much for this bill, I have an unease in myself that we're giving, sorry for keeping up, that we're giving huge discretion to the SAPs, who, as you've said, we all said over and over, their image is so tarnished, people are terrified of the SAPs. And to give them discretion may well come back and pluck this portfolio committee for saying, oh, you can give people who will drag someone off and murder them discretion in relation to weapons of self-defense. So I suggest this committee prepare itself, because I don't think this is going to be an easy ride.
Members, Honourable Lefitu, is it something new, please?
Thanks, Chair. No, it's very new. I want to thank Honourable George for his visionary statement. And also would love to say to Honourable Ndlovu that Mr. Mutiba is going to send an apology by the end of tomorrow. Thanks.
Are you now chairing the meeting, Honourable Legetu? And can we take the bromance between the Honourable Legetu and the Honourable Jules outside, please? Members, thank you for your patience. Next week we have a meeting. It's the Auditor General's meeting. The committee is actually supposed to continue. Are you ready? Or do you want to do it next week? Members, can I, the Auditor General's report is coming to us next week. The researchers have prepared a briefing for us. It is the Auditor General's report on contracts in the South African Police Service. Also something that we hope we see consequences for. And the researchers have prepared a document. I do think members might be a bit stressed out at this stage. So I would suggest that we start with the researchers' presentation at 9:30, and that you inform everybody else, including the Secretariat and the Auditor General and the Department, to only be here at 10 o'clock, and that we have the 9:30 briefing next week from the researchers on this document. But I also ask that members read it. Honourable Kulabana, I want to close the meeting.
Just before you close, I just want to put a formal request to you to please ask the Minister to come here to discuss the national key points. And it's an apartheid-era legislation, and I've got some very pressing questions, as I think we should all have. Thank you.
Honourable Kulabana, you can put that request to me in writing, and I will take it work to the management committee to deal with it. The fact of the matter is that the whole issue around the national key points and the making public or not public of national key points is an issue that, when it gets made public, will not be made public in this committee. It will be made public, it won't be made public, but it will be discussed at the level of the Intelligence Committee. It won't be discussed at this level. So thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.